This is the Children's Home Hour, originating in Bristol, Tennessee. This is Brother Mike Nixon, and I'd like to welcome you to the broadcast today. Thank you for joining us. Count it a privilege of ours to come into your place of listening. We trust the broadcast to be a blessing to you. I'd like to begin it with a word of prayer, so if you could, pray with us. Father, as we bow before you, we thank you for this day you've given us. Thank you for the opportunity to be here on the radio. Lord, I pray you'd be at the listeners and the broadcasters, Lord, and just have your will and your way during this time, Father. Lord, I do pray for the missionaries, Children's Home, all the work, Lord. God, just have your will and your way in it. Lead us and guide us, Father. Lord, that we may know what to do, and we'll thank you for all that you do in Jesus' name. Amen. Brethren, let me make just a few quick announcements concerning the work that we're engaged in. Would like to ask you to continue to pray for our children's homes, the one here in Bristol, Tennessee, one in North India, one in South India, one in Romania. Sure appreciate all the prayers for those youngins. Just got a report back the other day from our missionaries in North India, and they had a really good trip and things back and forth from the States, and telling how good the youngins are doing. I think there's about 140 youngins in that children's home. And so if you would, please pray for each and every one of those. We greatly appreciate it. And then if you would, remember all the work in Romania, Bulgaria, as well as the Ukraine. And then I guess over the last little bit, we talked about the giving out of the flour and oil to the churches in Bulgaria. And that is going on as we speak. And it's been a great blessing. And one young man from the church here went over to help him with that and wanted to go to the field and see what it's like. And so if you would pray for him, and I trust the Lord is really blessing him while he's there, and got to speak to him of different things, and trip's going really well. But we would ask you to pray for him. We greatly appreciate that. But anyway, ain't going to take up too much time here today. I want to ask you to write us this week, if you could. Write us at Tri-State Baptist Children's Home, Post Office Box 888, Bristol, Tennessee 37621, or at Charity Baptist Mission, Post Office Box 692, Bristol, Tennessee 37621. And at this time, we're going to go to the auditorium of the Brookside Baptist Church. We trust it'll be a blessing.
If you have your Bible this morning, turn to Luke chapter number 24. And I've preached all around this scripture. Preached it a lot of different times, a lot of different ways, but the Lord put a thought on my heart this morning. Familiar scripture. And I appreciate the Lord. It sure is good to be saved. Good to be washed in the blood. Do you know the weather never changes our position in Jesus? Doesn't change it at all. Doesn't matter how much snow's on the ground, you're still saved. Doesn't matter how much rain's in the forecast, you're still saved. Doesn't matter how treacherous weather might be, you're still saved. You're still washed in the blood of the Lamb. And thank God for that. The day, the hour, the events. You know the news can't change what you've got in the Lord Jesus. The news can't change it at all. There's talking this morning a little bit about Davos over there and what the world leaders are doing. You know, that doesn't affect what Jesus has done in my heart the least little bit. Do you know, in the first century church, Nero, that eventually put Paul to death, you know, he couldn't do a single thing about what the Lord had done in the Apostle Paul's heart. Do you know that no matter what happens in this election year, you'll still be saved at the end of it? Did you know no matter what law they pass locally or state or federally, that doesn't change what the Lord Jesus has done in your heart? You're still washed in the blood of the Lamb. You still saved by God's grace. You still have the indwelling Christ. Matter of fact, it might help us a little bit more when things get darker. We might appreciate the light that is within us, thank God. We might appreciate the salvation that's within us. And nobody appreciates the life jacket until the boat capsizes. And nobody appreciates your airbag until you have a fender bender. Nobody appreciates what you have until you need it. And we're entering into days when we'll need it more and more. But thank God, nothing in this world Paul told us over there in Romans chapter 8, principalities, powers, none of that stuff can separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. It can't alter it. Can I say this to you? You can't make the Lord love you any more than He does. And by that token, you can't make the Lord love you any less than He does. Praise the Lord for that. Do you know you haven't done a single thing that has altered the Lord's view of you in the least little bit? He hadn't changed His opinion of you. It hadn't altered. It hadn't varied. Sometimes we think, well, I'm better now and I'm saved. And all of a sudden when a fail or sin, why, oh my soul, He doesn't love me. Hey, listen, He loves you as good as He possibly can. Can I say this to you in 2024? That He loves you just as good now as He did on the cross when He hung before all the world and bled and died to wash your sins away. He loves you as much now as He did then. And you hadn't changed that. Have you had a hard week? He still loves you. Have you failed and fallen? You used to hear Brother Sam say, I've stumbled and staggered and pulled at the anchor chain, but it hadn't moved. It hadn't strained. It hadn't flinched. He loves me, thank God, as He always has and as He always will. Nothing will change that. Nothing can alter that fact. You can't alter that fact. Hey, listen, no external force can alter the fact that Jesus Christ loves you absolutely, entirely, completely. He's in this for keeps and for good. He's committed Himself absolutely and entirely, not withholding anything. Hey, listen, when He purchased your soul, He banked it all, thank God. He didn't hold a portion back, hallelujah, but He gave it all because He loved you. And He hadn't changed. He hadn't reneged. He hasn't said, well, I backed the wrong horse in that race. No. Hey, listen, He committed Himself completely and loves you absolutely and entirely, thank God. And it ain't going to change. And you can't change it. The world can't alter it. He loves you and He's going to love you unto the end. John chapter 13. He said, I've loved them. And He's going to love you all the way to the end, thank God. Here we are in Luke chapter 24, and some of us He's got to love kicking and screaming. Some of us He's got to love as we depart from Him and go away, but He loves us all the same, thank God. He loves us, praise the Lord. And it's an awareness and a revival and a return and a remembrance of that love that stirs something in our hearts to say, I want to get back to Him. And I want to get back to that love. And I just linger in it and soak it all up. Do you know, I've said this about every time, but the farther on this goes, the more we're reminded of the love of the Lord Jesus, not less. The more we're reminded of His love for us. Thank God. John writes about it. Peter writes about it. Revelation writes about it in chapter number 1. Unto Him that loved us. And the farther on we go, Brother Mike is talking Thursday night about preaching on forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. Why? Because it's there. We hear time and again that God loves us, that Christ died for us, that He was buried and rose again, and He loves us and He's coming after us, thank God. We come in here this morning not to hear about politics or the shape of the world, but to hear that God loves us and to be reminded that He loves us, thank God. Amen. That helps you. That'll help you. That Jesus loves you. Regardless of the circumstances. Do you know there's a portion in the Bible that Paul talks about that out of all, he said, he talked about three particular cities and three particular events in his life. And he said, out of them all, the Lord delivered me. And that's unusual, because if you go back and look at those three things, that He delivered him three different ways.
I'm going somewhere with this. Hold on just a second. The first city he went to, and he said, the Lord delivered me. The Lord said, Paul, we're going to get you out of this place. You're not going to enter into this mess. And he was delivered out of it. The second place he went, and he said, God delivered me. He came right up against it, but the Lord miraculously rescued him from the middle of the problem and from the middle of the difficulty. The last one, they stoned him, they killed him, and drug him out of the city and left his dead body out there. But he said, out of them all, the Lord delivered me. So what are you saying? I'm saying the Lord loves you. And sometimes he delivers you out of your problems. And sometimes he delivers you in your problems. And then sometimes you just got to go through with the problem. But that don't change the fact that the Lord loves you. Some storms you don't ever get in because God delivers you from them. Some storms he comes to you in the middle of it and takes care of it. And then some storms you just got to get wet. Some storms you just got to go through it and suffer. But he loves you, thank God, nevertheless. And he loves you in all of it. Think, why didn't the Lord deliver me? Or why didn't the Lord? That don't change the fact that he loves you. He loves you all the same, thank God. Luke chapter 24, the Bible says in verse, let's back up to verse number 5. My goodness, may as well just start from the beginning, eh? Now upon the first day of the week in verse number 1, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. They came to say goodbye. They came to wrap it all up. They came to put the final and finishing touches on it. They came to say, all right, it's over and it's done with. And they brought everything required for that. Yeah. Do you know, thank God, this isn't the end. This isn't the end. We sat, Brother Mike and I, with Miss Green the other day, listening to her talk about her family and her brothers passing and telling them, hey, this isn't the end. He's doing better now than he was before this. They took his leg off, but now he's got both legs and he's in heaven whole worshiping God. And here they brought everything required to finish it up, tie it off and say goodbye. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. Aren't you glad that the Lord, there's nothing that's over with him. Praise the Lord, that ought to help some folks. It helps me. Because the devil always said, why, it's over and God's done. I can't tell you how many messages I've heard about God putting folks on the shelf and God washing his hands of people or of things and just walking away from them. But I thank God the stone is still rolled away and he ain't done and he ain't quit and he ain't give up. Thank the Lord. The stone rolled away from the sepulcher and they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. Now they're getting ready to say goodbye, but he wasn't there to say goodbye. To praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Sometimes seems like we come to church to say goodbye. He ain't here to say goodbye to. He's here to say hello. I'm here. I'm alive. They showed up there to say goodbye, but he wasn't there. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. Can I repeat that to you this morning? That's more relevant than anything you've read on the internet today. That's more relevant than any title that'll adorn Bristol Herald Courier or any newspaper, the New York Times or Washington Post. This is more relevant in the hour in which we live than any news flash or any weather bulletin. He is not here. He is risen, thank God. He was delivered unto death. Hallelujah for that. He was delivered not for his own offenses, but for my sins and my offenses and your sins and your offenses. He was delivered over to death, and he did yield himself up, and he did die on the cross, and they did bury him. These people here give an account of that. But thank God he did rise again from the dead. Hallelujah. He is alive. Thank the Lord. He's alive. He just is alive now as he ever has been. Amen. Matter of fact, he accomplished more while dead than anybody ever else did while living. While dead, he preached a 3-day revival and brought all the Old Testament saints out of prison. While he was dead, he preached a meeting and condemned fallen angels and spirits. You can't stop him. He preached the entire time he's anointed with the Holy Ghost. He preached when he went down to the heart of the earth. He got up, thank God, and finished the work that God called him and appointed him to do. He's alive forevermore. That bears how do I want to say it? That is the most relevant information that influences everything you'll hear today. Jesus Christ is alive and well, thank God. We're living in days, we're not living in days. Every news publisher's only ever published bad news. That's what sells. That's the only thing that sells is bad news. Catastrophe. My Lord, I was thinking earlier this week and all the storms hit and stuff like that. What did our forefathers do for the Weather Channel? Brother Terry's reading over there in Ecclesiastes and it said, for the weather, for the wind, they won't sow. You know, they look out there, oh, it's not sowing weather, it's not this weather, it's not that weather. It's bad, we can't go. Well, it's not bad right now, yeah, but they're telling us it's going to get bad, so we got to stay. An old woman in the village is Lot and Eva, and everybody's got phones. We all got weather apps on our phones, and man, everybody, that's what they talk about. You know people are the same everywhere. Old folks over there talk about their pensions and governments and taxes and talk about sickness, and they talk about the weather just like they do everywhere else. And them other folks are sitting around one day, and they said, boy, it's a hot one tomorrow. We ain't going to go out and do nothing. And she said, what would you do if you didn't have a phone to tell you it's a hot one? You'd get out and you'd work and think, boy, it's a little warm, isn't it? Had to get on all that, goodness gracious. The most relevant information that you have is that Jesus Christ is alive. He ought to influence, and that fact that he's alive and well ought to influence every decision that we make. Let me go on. Now, notice here, this is what I want to get to, and I'll get to it quickly. When the angels wanted to encourage these people, you know what they did? They reminded them of the Word of God. They said, let me rehearse God's Word in your ear. Remember what Jesus said? You remember he fed the fire. Not what he did, but you remember what he said? They didn't rehearse. Hey, he fed the 5,000, didn't he? They didn't rehearse the many miracles. They said, no, remember the words of the Lord Jesus. Remember what God had to say to you. You remember what your Savior said before any of this came to pass. You know what happened to these two, and I'm getting way ahead of myself, but you know what happened to these two that left the assembly and decided to leave it all and forget it? You know what happened? The day's events eclipsed the Word of God. And all that was going on in Jerusalem at that time and all that they had thought and all that they had expected eclipsed what Jesus Christ had to say about it. Do you know Paul said that day shall not come? He's talking about the revealing of the Antichrist until there come a falling away first. Until people forget, they get so consumed with life and its daily events and the news and what's happening that they forget the Word of God. People get all tore up. Have you seen what's going on in Jerusalem? Have you read what's happening? It told us that this would come long before it ever got here, before they started firing off rockets in Gaza or before that. Hey, that was on the pages of Scripture 2,000 years ago and farther. Amen. God told us this. It's all laid out right here. I can't believe the things that are going on. Pick up your Bible. There's much worse going to happen, but God's word will hold you, thank God. God's word will keep you. It'll sustain you. Hallelujah. Amen. They reminded them, said, you remember what Jesus said? He said, I'm going to die. I'm going to be buried, but don't you worry about it. I'm going to rise again. He said, I've got a commandment from my Father. And he said, I can lay my life down and I can take it up again. And no man can take my life from me. Amen. That'd be good for us to remember today. Jesus said he would die for the sins of mankind, for your sins, for mine. Jesus would be crucified and the third day rise again. Verse 8, and they remembered his words. And returned from the sepulchre and told all these things unto the 11 and all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. Verse 11. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. How many folks come to the house of God and they hear preaching, but their words seem as idle tales? We come here and we talk about heaven, and we talk about a street of gold, and we talk about a throne of grace, and we preach about a God who's got an ear that hears, and we preach about a Savior who's alive and making intercession for us and invites us to come and cast all our care upon Him. We preach about a Savior who cares and will hear and will answer. But how many folks actually take Him up on it? We come and we hear, but the words seem as idle tales. I mean, if we believed what we hear about heaven, we'd be the happiest crowd on the face of the earth this morning. That this world is not our home. That we're just passing through. That we're going someplace better. If we believed what we've heard about hell, we'd be different people. But sometimes these things seem as idle tales to us. Idle tales. Because why? Why? Because they believed them not. Then arose Peter and ran into the sepulchre. And stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves and departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. Let me say this right here. If you don't believe God's words, you won't believe your eyes. They said, no, that can't be so. And they went down there and saw an empty tomb. And they walked in and saw the empty tomb. And they walked in and surveyed it all as was told them. But because they didn't believe the word, they couldn't believe their eyes. Couldn't believe their eyes. And what happened as a result of that? Two of them said, it's time to leave. We've done made a mistake. They couldn't believe God's word. They wouldn't believe God's word. And they wouldn't believe the testimony of their own eyes. And two of them here, look on verse number 13. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem, about 60 furlongs. Two of them said, you know, this is, that's it. That's it. It's time to go. It's time to pull away. And they forsook the assembly. Jerusalem there, that's where the upper room was. That's where the Lord had fed them. That's where the Lord had prayed with them. That's where the Lord had fellowship with them. That's where the Lord said, take, eat. This is my body broken for you. Take, drink. This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for you. That's in that upper room. That's where he got down on his knees and washed their feet. That's that place of fellowship and that place of communion. That's that place where the Lord talked to them and told them all that was about to come. And they walked away from that. They walked away from that because they didn't believe the word that he was alive. Two of them departed. You know, when you ever take a notion to leave, very rarely do people leave by ones. Whenever you get upset or whatever like that, and the root of it all is unbelief, that's the heart of it. But they very rarely have the courage to, I don't know, Cleopas elbows his buddy there who, and says, I'm sorry, it's too much for me. Yeah, let's cut our losses. I made a mistake. And one took the other and they departed. And it says that two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, and they talked together of all these things that happened. Now, I want to say a few things about unbelief. Unbelief sets tongues to wagging. You didn't expect to come here preaching this morning, did you really? But unbelief sets tongues to wagging and sets people talking about things. And I don't know, I've always thought that Mary Magdalene was touched in the head. I've always thought that this one, after all, she had seven devils in her, and after all this and that and Joanna and whatever, and it set tongues to wagging there. They started talking about things. And then I noticed something else. Look, you hear what it says. They talked together of all these things which had happened, and it came to pass while they communed together and reasoned. They coming up with reasons of what they's doing, why they's doing what they's doing. And they're justifying their departure, in other words. They're justifying their leaving the house of God, leaving the fellowship of the saints, and they're coming up with their good reasons and their good arguments because they's guilty and they wanted to feel better about it. They's guilty and they're feeling, and they wanted to feel better about it. So they start saying, cut talking and coming up with reasons why they's doing what they's doing. I ain't asking for no show of hands. But that, hey, I know, because that's human nature. We justify ourselves, we justify our behavior, and we got to come up with pretty good reasons. Well, this one or that one or the other one, or I'm doing what I'm doing because of whomever, whatever. And it came to pass, they reasoned. Look at this. Jesus himself drew near and went with them. He pulled up and he said, let me tune in to what their strong reasons are leaving my house. Sometimes we're not always aware of who joins in the conversation. Oh, my soul, we got idle tongues wagging and talking, and sometimes we're not aware who pulls up and said, let me listen down there, see what this crowd's having to say. Do you know, the Bible says that you'll give account of every idle word. Do you know there's not a word that escapes your mouth that he doesn't hear it? Did you know, let me go a little bit farther. Did you know there's not a thought that rumbles across your head that isn't spoken aloud to him? Their eyes, look here, Jesus himself drew near. Verse 16, but their eyes were holding that they should not know him. He drew near and they couldn't even see him for who he was. Unbelief blinds you to Jesus. It'll open your eyes to all the problems and the difficulties and blinds you to the solution. I mean, there he was right beside him and they couldn't see him for who he was. This shepherd had shown up and they couldn't see him. They thought he's a stranger in the land. They'd walked with him. They had been his disciples now for 3.5 years. They had been eyewitnesses of his power. They had heard him speak, but there he was right beside them. They had no idea who he was. Do you know Jesus showed up over there in the temple? And when Jesus showed up, they knew what time he's supposed to get here. They knew where he's supposed to be born, but they didn't recognize him when he got here.
Well, I trust you've enjoyed the message this week. Once again, write us at Tri-State Baptist Children's Home, Post Office Box 888, Bristol, Tennessee, 37621, or at Charity Baptist Mission, Post Office Box 692, Bristol, Tennessee, 37621. And until next week, God bless you.